this morning, Mark chapter number 5. It'll take me a little while to get there, as we're going to do a Bible study together this morning, one I cannot get away from. If you're a teenager that was on the mission trip, this is going to be a repeat for you. But I cannot get away from this thought. The Lord's laid it on my heart. And I want to be a preacher who is guilty of following the Lord's direction. Whatever the Lord tells me to do, I want my answer to be yes to that. And I encourage you today to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. I promise you, you are in this message somewhere. You are in here somewhere. And ask the Lord to speak to your heart. And God is working in my own heart, asking the Lord to touch this in a special way. Remind the deacons of our meeting at 5:15 tonight. And tonight, this is the fifth Sunday, and every fifth Sunday evening, we take an other's offering to help folks in time of need, especially those who are in our church family. So if our church people will come prepared to give to that, that would be a great, great thing. You're in Mark chapter number 5. Let me just pray with you, give you the thought here, and I'm coming there shortly. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this time? Speak to our hearts. Fill me with the power of God. May there be absolutely nothing in my heart that hinders you. And Lord, I pray that you take full control of me, my thoughts, my words, all of it. And may you be the preacher today. Fill me fresh and new. I need your help. I need your strength. And I pray that you help me to preach with the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. Calm us today, I pray. Comfort our hearts and teach us this valuable lesson, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God is full of facts. It's full of truths, thoughts, on and on we can go, that reach out for our attention and admonition. There's so many things in God's Word to help us in our daily lives. And folks, there's no way we can fully exhaust the Word of God in this lifetime. The Word of God is inexhaustible. It's infallible. It's inspired. It's inerrant. And I want to say, just by means of introduction, praise God for His wonderful Word. One of these many thoughts within God's Word is brought out for us in this Bible lesson I want to do with you, this Bible study. It's the thought that I did a long time ago on three words. And I did a search on these three words. And I found some interesting things. And the thing I want to preach to you today is I want to preach to you on this thought. At His feet. At His feet. And this thought, as we travel through the New Testament together, we'll find several different people at different times in their lives found at the feet of Jesus Christ. And as we consider these different circumstances, I trust that everyone here will receive a blessing and get help from our Lord for our daily lives. So I'm going to do this Bible study with you. We're going to be turning to several passages. You're in Mark chapter 5. First of all, this morning, we see those at His feet, number one, begging Him. Begging Him. Now, you're in Mark chapter 5. As we come to the first time that someone is at His feet, we see a couple of different people begging Him for help and intervention in their times of both trials and tribulations. The first one is found here in Mark chapter 5. You're right there. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus," there he is by name, "and when he saw Him," notice it now, "he fell," here it is, "at His feet, and besought Him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him." Look at verse number 35. The Bible says in this same passage of Scripture, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" I'm glad that even when death sets in, the Lord Jesus Christ can step in and take care of any problem. Verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." He suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. He cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years old. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. First time you see this, you see a man by the name of Jairus that falls at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says he besought the Lord. That's where I get the word begging. We see them at his feet begging the Lord here. We're told here that this man is a ruler of the synagogue. That is, he's a man of prominence. He's a man of position. He's a man of prestige, privilege, prosperity, power in the community. He was a man who had it all. But at this moment in time, none of that mattered. It's possible that when Jairus spoke, people listened. It's possible when he walked into a room that everybody stood up in recognition. But now he finds himself in a place where none of that matters anymore. Sickness and death could care less about what this man's position is. It makes no difference. I guarantee you at this time that Jairus would have traded everything for the power to change his situation. You see, death had come to the house of Jairus. And it had not come for something that was meaningless. It had come for his real treasure. It had come for his little daughter. He falls at the feet of Jesus and he begs Jesus for God to help him, because he had nowhere else to turn. You can turn to Mark chapter 7, same thought here. The next person that we see at the feet of Jesus is a woman. We do not know her by name. We know that she is from Syrophoenicia. So we call her the Syrophoenician woman. That's what we call her. She's nameless. But yet we see here, first of all, Jairus, a dad at the Lord's feet on behalf of his little daughter. Now we see a Syrophoenician woman right here in Mark chapter 7. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. There it is. She's falling at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought, there it is, begging. We're talking about number one now, begging. People at his feet begging him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. She answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil's gone out of thy daughter. When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Here this lady is. She had a daughter that was demon-possessed. No doubt this devil was hurting her daughter and destroying her daughter's life. And because of this, this mother falls down at the feet of Jesus Christ and begs him for his help. When all is said and done, the Lord has answered this hurting mother's request. And says, you go your way, the devil's gone. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad when Jesus says the devil's gone, the devil flees. That's what I'm glad of. When you look at these two folks here, Jairus, this father, and this Syrophoenician woman, this mother, both at the feet of Jesus, begging God for his help with their sick child, whether it be a physical sickness or death, or whether it be a demon possession, we learn here that we ought to be found at the feet of Jesus, asking his help when there's nothing else that can be done. What I mean by that is many times we go to the feet of Jesus Christ when we tried everything else. Why don't we just learn from this father and this mother that we ought to go straight to the feet of Jesus Christ, because that's the only place that we really find help in time of need. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does God have you in a situation that no man can help you? Does He have you in a situation that you can't change? And only God can see you through. If you're there, join the crowd. And let me help you with something, just like I'm trying to help myself get to the feet of Jesus. And beg Him. Plead with Him. Beseech Him for His help. And even though sometimes it may seem like He's not answering your prayer, all He's got to do is speak the word, and He can take care of your need. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can stop right there. It's been worth your time coming today. But that's only one place that we see people at His feet. Let's move on. If you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 7. The book of Luke chapter 7. We come to a third person here, found at the feet of Jesus. But this is point number two. The first two people we see, it's point number one. They were both begging God for something that only He could help them with. Number two, we see another person found at the feet of Jesus. Who is this person? This person is a lady by the name of Mary. We come to Luke chapter 7. Look at verse number 37. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood. Look here now. Here it is. At His feet. She's at His feet. Behind Him weeping. Began to wash His feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, I'm not going to take time to read this passage. If you want to know the whole passage, it's verse 36 down through verse number 50. But we see here a woman. She's identified in John chapter 12. This is Mary. This is Mary. And the Bible tells us here in verse 38 that she's standing at His feet behind Him. Now, let me explain what that means. Back in this day, in this culture, in taking their meals, the Eastern people would recline on one side. And their legs would be bent back behind them, if you understand what I'm saying to you. So if you can see the Lord just kind of on the ground, on His side, with His feet just curled back behind Him, that's the situation here. And she walks in, and the Bible says she's standing now at His feet. And she takes an alabaster box of ointment, very, very costly. And she breaks it and she anoints His feet. And she's weeping on His feet. It's a beautiful story. And there's no towel in sight, so she untrusses her hair and she takes her hair and begins to wipe His feet with her hair. I'm getting blessed right there. God said, the Word of God said, this woman was a sinner. And everybody else knew it. When they did this, the Pharisees started questioning, why, if He's the Son of God, if He's who He said He would know who that woman is. And the Lord began to deal with them. And when everything is said and done, in verse number 50, look at it. It says, and He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. You know what this woman's doing at His feet? She's repenting. That's what she's doing. She's seeking forgiveness. See, the kiss was an emblem of love and affection. And in this manner, she testified her love for the Lord Jesus. At the same time, her humility and sense of her sin was coming over her. This is seen in all of this, her kissing His feet. There could be few expressions of penitence more deep and tender than these were. A sense of all of her sins rushed over her mind. Her heart was bursting at the remembrance of her wickedness and at the presence of the pure Redeemer. And with pure, deep sorrow, she humbled herself and she sought His forgiveness. She showed her love for Him by a kiss of affection, her humility by bathing His feet with tears, And in this, we should all come embracing Him as the loved Redeemer, humbling ourselves at His feet, offering all we have. She's filled with deep repentance. She's moved with holy reverence for her Lord. She brought the greatest treasure she possessed, and she used it all for Him, standing behind Him in her bashfulness, washing His feet in her humility, weeping for penitence, kissing His feet for love, and upbraiding her tresses and using them as a towel out of supreme devotion to Him to whom she knew she owed her all. Here we have Mary standing in awe of the Lord, with the sense of her own sinfulness, repenting, seeking His forgiveness, showing Him love, and the Lord responded. He responded to her. And in the same way, if you have never trusted Christ, if you have never humbled yourself, if you have never fallen at the feet of Jesus Christ, understanding your wretchedness, your sinfulness, you're just a sinner in need of salvation. You're a sinner who deserves to die and burn in hell. But when you see yourself, God sees you. The world may look at you and say they're ungodly, they're wicked, they're a sinner. But the Lord is just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to fall at His feet, to humble yourself, to seek His forgiveness, to repent of your sin. And I promise you, if you fall at His feet, repenting of your sin, seeking His forgiveness, He will respond. He did to her, and He will to you. Let me give you a third one. I like preaching through tears. I want more brokenness in my life. And I'm telling you, I am plowing towards one major thought. One major thought am I plowing towards. I'll give it to you at the end, but I'm giving it to you all the way through. The third thing that we see, turn to Luke chapter 8, just the next chapter. And look at chapter 8, verse 35. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on verses 26 through 39. But I'm not going to read it for time's sake. Everybody says amen, right? But in verses 26 to 39, you find the story of the maniac of Gadara. This maniac, if you know the story, is crying and cutting himself up in the mountains. They are tying him with chains. And the Bible says he is so strong that he plucks the chains off of his arms. See, he's demon-possessed. The devil and the demons are inside of him. The Bible says when he called his name, he said, "My name is Legion." That means many. There are many devils inside this man, and he has extreme power. The Bible says he is naked. He has no clothes on. He's naked. He's crying and cutting himself, and he's scaring the town to death. They're trying to chain him, but he's so powerful he plucks it out. In verse number 35, I want to show you something. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 35, here's what it says. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Look at it now. Sitting where? He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Notice this now. Clothed. In his right mind. They were afraid. The third major thing you see taking place with people at the feet of Jesus is we see somebody at the feet of Jesus, and I'm just using the Bible word here to explain it. He's just sitting. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. In this story, we see how this man was possessed with devils. The Bible said he had his dwelling in the tombs. He's crying and cutting himself, and he's out of his right mind. He's crazy. In verse number 28, he cries for mercy from the Lord. He sees the Lord, verse 28, and when he saw Jesus. Oh, travel with me back to this scene. Here he is. He's demon-possessed. He sees the Lord and he falls down and he cries with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. Jesus begins to deal with this legion of demons. And they tell him, they say, if you bid us depart, because see, they know Jesus has ultimate authority. I'm paraphrasing the story. And they say, if you bid us depart, send us out into those pigs over there. And he said, okay, go. And the legion left the man and went into the pigs. You listening to me? The devil just as much have a pig as have you. Amen. He would just as much have a pig as to have you. You are a pig, makes no difference to him. And the Lord delivers this man. His right mind comes back to him. He puts some clothes on. He's not chained anymore, he doesn't need them. He's not running around in the tombs, no. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. In this, we see how the Lord changes those that he saves. We see that he gives them peace and contentment, and he destroys the work of the devil in their life. Let me tell you what we need to get out of this point right here. This man sitting at the feet of Jesus. We should rejoice, we who've been saved, over the fact that we who are saved by his amazing grace, we have been delivered from the power of the devil himself. And we can sit at the feet of Jesus with the world in turmoil and just sit there with a smile on our face because we know we have the peace that passeth all understanding. This man's life was changed. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me give you another one. You've made it through three. Can you make it through three more? I hope so. We see them at the feet of Jesus begging for his help in time of need. We see somebody at his feet repenting of their sin and receiving salvation. We see somebody at his feet just sitting there in peace when all their life was turmoil and bitterness and anger and wickedness. The next one's found in Luke chapter 10. Very familiar portion of Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. The Bible says, now it came to pass as they went, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat, here it is, she sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Here's the fourth major thought about somebody sitting at his feet. They are sitting at his feet listening. Listening. The Bible says here in verse number 39 that she sat at his feet and heard his word. She heard his word. That means she's listening to what he has to say to her. In this portion of Scripture, there's two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, folks, before we jump on Martha, you have never had the physical human body of Jesus Christ coming to dinner, okay? If somebody said, Jesus Christ is coming to your house tomorrow for supper, ladies, what would you do? I'll tell you what you'd do. You'd go into the white glove mode. You cannot fault Martha here. After all, she just wanted her house to be the best it could be for Jesus. We're not faulting her. But we see here that she's cumbered about much serving. She's just burdened. She's distracted. Mary, on the other hand, is not lifting her hand to help anything in the house. All she's doing is sitting at his feet, listening to every word he's saying. Wow. Get this now. Martha thought Mary was wasting time. After all, there were things to do. But the Lord told Martha that what Mary was doing was the one needed thing. And that was sitting and listening to what he was saying. I'm not going to dwell long here, but in the same way, our lives can become so busy that we neglect our time with God. We can become so cumbered about much serving. And by the way, this serving was good. It was for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with her service. Everything's right with what she's trying to do. She's trying to serve Jesus. But folks, we can become so cumbered about the cares of this life that we lose sight of what really matters. And that is simply sitting at His feet, listening intently to His Word. I ask you a question. Did you sit at His feet and listen this morning before you came to church? Is there a time, sometime in the day? I realize some people don't do their devotions in the morning. They do it at night. I get that. So don't let what I said offend you. So let me just say it this way. Yesterday, did you have some time yesterday, morning, noon, night, where you went to the feet of Jesus and sat down and asked Him to speak to your heart? I needed something from God this morning. I was in my truck out here in the back of the parking lot, and I begged God. I said, God, I need something from You today. And about 4, 5, 6, 7 different times, it was like, trust God, trust God, trust me, trust me, trust Him, trust God. And I said, okay, God, I got it. Thank You. And it's what I needed. I'm telling you, God has His way of when you just take time to sit down, He'll give you what you need. But we become so busy with good things that we neglect the main thing, sitting at His feet, listening. That's number four. Number five. Hang on, friends, you're about to make it. Number five, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse number 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem, Luke 17, 11, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and He entered into a certain village. There met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face. Here it is, at His feet, giving Him thanks. He was a Samaritan. It's not a trick question. What's the fifth one? We ought to be found at His feet, thanking Him. Just saying thank you. Now, leprosy back in this day, get this now, even today, but especially back in this day, leprosy here is a spiritual picture of sin. There was no more dreadful disease than leprosy. It was usually accompanied with great pain, violent itching. In some cases, the body eventually collapses and it eventually can kill you. Under law, they were under a death warrant. They are going to die. Yet Jesus had compassion on them. And when He saw them and they called out to Him, there's 10 of them, when they called out to Him, He gave them something to do, and as they obeyed Him, they were healed. Now keep in mind, they were to stay away from other people. This is a death sentence. This was an unclean thing. They were to cut their hand over their mouth if somebody was going to get close and say, unclean,
unclean. It was a shameful thing. And it was absolutely dreaded. Nobody wanted this. It meant they were secluded and they were getting ready to die. 10 of them have it, and they call out to Jesus, and he said, go show yourselves. That took faith to do that. And they showed faith in it, and as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine if your hand has leprosy on it, and it's all twisted and curled, and all these sores on it, and all these kind of things, it's about ready to fall off, and you're obeying God, and all of a sudden you look down, and your hand's back to brand new. And you say, what? I'm healed. 9 of them just went on their merry way. Shame on them 9. 1 of them turned back, fell at his feet, and said, I just came to say thank you. I'm going to tell you what, friends, every now and then it's good just to go to the feet of Jesus, just to say thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the food that I eat. Thank you for the clothes that you put on my back. Thank you for air conditioning. Thank you for your goodness to me. When's the last time we just went to God, fell on our feet? I'm talking about fell at his feet just to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. May I say this to us? I'm not belittling this miracle here. I'm not belittling. The Lord did it. This is a physical healing. If you're saved, he did something a whole lot better for you than he did for these lepers here. He delivered you from hell. Hey, let this help you. You will never know what hell is like. Never. You're headed to a land where there is no disease. There is no heartache, no more burdens, no more sickness, no more death, no more sin, no more devil. None of that. And we're going to be in the presence of Jesus. That's enough to fall on our face and just say, thank you. A little chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. I'm glad he set me free. And every now and then, I just need to get on my face at his feet. Just to say thank you. I'm going to tell you something this morning, friends. I don't know if you know it or not. God is here this morning. The Lord is here this morning. I know he's inside of us. I'm talking about his manifestation. I'm getting blessed beyond measure up here this morning. I feel God in this room. And I like it. I know I want him to know he's welcome anytime. I want him to take full control of this church, take full control of this pastor, take full control of this place, and take us anywhere he wants us to go. That's what I want. May God help us just to say thank you. Amen. Let me give you a final one. John chapter 11. This is the story. If you're keeping notes and would like to read the whole story later, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Aren't you glad I'm not going to read that this morning, right? Let me just give you the story here. Read some of the passage and give you the story. John chapter 11, verse 1. Look at this. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse number 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, here it is now, look at it. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now verse 33 tells us what she was doing at his feet. When Jesus therefore saw her, what? What's she doing? She's weeping. That's the sixth point. You find somebody at his feet weeping. You know the story, maybe most of you, maybe all of you. You see in this passage how Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus is sick. They send to Jesus, and he waits 2 days right where he was. And by the time he responds, Lazarus has died, and he's been in the grave for 4 days. Martha hears that the Lord's coming, and she runs out to meet him, and he deals with her. This is the great pastor. He says, I am the resurrection and life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And believest thou this, and all of this. But then he called for Mary. And Martha goes back to the house and says, the master has come, paraphrasing, the master has come and he calls for you. He wants to see you. She gets up and she goes out the door. People think she's going to the tomb, but she's not going to the tomb. She's going to see Jesus. And when she gets to him, do you see her coming? Do you see her pressing through those people and saying, the Lord wants to see me? Her brother's died. Her heart's hanging out of her chest. And she's going and she's pleading. And when she gets to the Lord, all she can do is fall at his feet and cry. She's weeping. She's crying. She's brokenhearted. And she says, oh Lord, if you had been here, he'd not died. And all she's doing is weeping. I'm glad that when what she did was weep, the shortest verse in all the Bible, yet it is so profound. Verse 35, the Bible says, Jesus wept. Now, I may be talking to somebody, and I'm not going to fight you over this. I'll give you the right to be wrong if you want to, okay? Some people try to teach that he was weeping because he was getting ready to bring Lazarus back from the dead. He's getting ready to bring him back into this sinful world. Folks, why would God weep over a miracle that's going to bring him glory? Come on. I'm going to tell you why he's weeping. He's weeping because he cares for her tears. He's weeping because when we are, I'm talking about struck with the infirm with our infirmities, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, friends. Let me tell you why he's weeping. Because he is a Savior who cares. He really does. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that when Mary fell at his feet, he knew what he was getting ready to do. She didn't. He knew what he was getting ready to do. I'm glad when she was weeping. Let's be honest. She was showing distrust in him. Do you not see it? Her faith wasn't strong here. If you had been here, that's almost sounding like blaming somebody, does it not to you? I'm not saying she's blaming him, but it sure sounds like it. If you had been here earlier, he had not even died. And I'm glad that when she's weeping and she's broken and her faith is shattered, I'm glad he didn't say, get up, woman. Don't you believe me? I'm glad I don't serve a Savior like that. He looked at her and he wept with her. He was broken with her. I may be talking to somebody today. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't think anybody cares about me. I'll say this to you. I have a hard time believing that. But even if there was not another human being that cares about you, I'll guarantee you there's somebody who does. His name is Jesus. And when his child cries, he cries with you. He's a broken-hearted Savior. There's a song that says, "Oh, does Jesus care?" And the chorus goes, "Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. And I'm glad that no matter what you're going through, maybe the only thing you find yourself doing late at night, early in the morning, during the day, when you're alone, when you're with your spouse, whatever, maybe the only thing you find yourself doing is crying. You just don't know where to go. And you're broken. I'm going to tell you something. God majors in times like that. And He wants you to know that He cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Are you glad God cares about you? Where would we be if God didn't care? Where would we be if God's like, "I don't care"? God would never look at you and say, "I don't care." He looks at you and says, "I love you, I care about you, and I'll weep with you." Now, folks, we've seen several times, six of them to be the case. Even though we've looked at seven different people, we've seen six different major ways, times that people were at the feet of Jesus. They were there begging Him for help. They were there repenting of sin. They were there just sitting because He had given them peace. They were there listening to His word. They were there thanking Him for His goodness. They were there weeping because their heart was broken. Here's the main thought. In all of these, we learn that no matter what life throws at you, good or bad, mountain or valley, whatever life throws at you, we should be found at the feet of Jesus Christ. Good times, thank you, God. Bad times, I don't understand. But I'm not going to move until you help me with this. Some of you need to find His feet today. Drop all pride. Drop all, what do they think? Who cares what they think? And find the feet of Jesus Christ. And get to His feet. You got it this morning? May God help us act on this. If this church goes forward, it'll be because the folks in this church are found at the feet of Jesus Christ. Let's go forward. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would You bless today? Would You help us today? Fill us with Your power and Spirit. If you're preparing for baptism, now's the time for you to leave and get prepared for baptism. Those who are following the Lord in baptism, men to my left, your right, ladies to my right, your left. If you'll prepare, we're going to get prepared with you here momentarily. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I do not mean to tarry long here. But I do not want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is there one here today, say, "Pastor Jody, if I die just like I am right now, I do not have peace. I do not have peace. I do not have peace that heaven is my home. I do not know if I'm saved," or maybe you know you're lost. But you know this, you are not sure that you're going to heaven. Is there somebody today, "I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I would not call you out. I will not do anything like that. I give you my word. But if you'd like for me to pray for you because you're just not sure about salvation, or maybe you know you're lost and you need to be saved," is there anybody like that? "I will not come to your seat. I will not embarrass you. But I would like to pray for you." Is there one like that today? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Then let me ask you this question. Have you say, "Pastor Jody, I'm a Christian. God spoke to me today. I'm not asking you about what. It could be a great thing He spoke to you about. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor Jody, I'm a Christian, and God used the message to speak to me. He really did. I got something from this. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. God spoke to you today. Yes. Amen. You put your hands down. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, would you take it? Would you use it? Would you get glory to your name? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary beginning to sing. If you want to leave your place, come to the feet of Jesus. Just to say thank you for speaking to my heart, I encourage you to do that. As he sings, would you come now, please? Would you do it? Come on.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt you roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him your burden and you will be blessed. He will not turn you away.
You may be seated.